Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 7, it says this: when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Let me say that again. When a man's ways please the Lord, God maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a fantastic principle, ladies and gentlemen. It applies to individuals. It also applies to nations. And other verses throughout Scripture speaks to a manifestation of God's blessings on a nation, one of those being security and peace. But if you're like me, as I look around and I look at the news and I consider all the events that are happening in the day, I come to no other conclusion than to say that our nation, once we know blessed of God, without any equivocation, is under siege from all sides. Since any nation that obeys the commands of God will be blessed by God, as reflected in prosperity, no debt, being, in other words, debtors controlling who the circumstance, peace being one of those, peace even with the enemies, as we've referred to, even things such as having rain at the right time, but not flooding, no drought, no dread diseases. These are things God promises. It makes sense to look around at our nation and consider whether or not what we're seeing is an indication that our ways do not please God and His blessing is being withheld from us. So we're going to make today's general theme America under siege from all sides. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'll be joined today by Dave Kistler and our special recurring guest, David New, our constitutional attorney, our biblical scholar, and exceptional historian as well. He'll be with us throughout the entirety of today's program. Now, in segment two, we're going to bring in Jeremy Dice, senior counsel of Liberty First Institute, to give us an update on the Ninth Circuit Court ruling against Coach Joe Kennedy. And as Coach Kennedy's attorney, Jeremy will tell us the real scoop and the danger now that this court has ruled that public employees have no right to pray in public. That's exactly what you heard right. They say a public employee has no right to pray in public. So stay with us, ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss key examples, this being one of them, indicating the extent to which America is under siege from all sides, from above, from without, from within, and all around. So Dave Kistler, let me go to you first in this first segment. On Monday, we discussed the eclipse. However, we discussed it in much different light. Pardon the pun, if you don't mind. We discussed it in a different vantage point than secular media. We considered how this supernatural event, when considered biblically and historically, has, from the standpoint of total eclipses, have nearly always been used by God to deliver a message of warning. And we cited an example, Nineveh of old, before Jonah went, across Europe, just before the beginning of World War I. And here in the United States, 99 years ago, just before the outbreak of the great flu epidemic. So I must say, ladies and gentlemen, that I am looking at the events of the next weeks and months in light of what God is doing. Last night I looked at the National Weather Service and their headlines, which stated, quote, zombie storm comes back from the mostly dead to threaten Gulf Coast with biblical flooding. That biblical flooding caught my attention. Dave, they're talking there about massive floods right now. They're going to upgrade. I think they've upgraded it pretty much that it's probably going to be a hurricane shortly. 20 to 30 inches of rain. That's amazing. Dave, my question for you is this. When you read biblical proportions, and even right now on top of headlines of Drudge, they're actually referring to this as hell, H-E-L-L, not a hailstorm, but a hell storm, Texas, coming. When you see things such as that, a storm dying and then coming back to life as they're describing it to be, and you see what's been happening across the country, the attack on memorials and so forth, Dave, what are your thoughts? I'm just wondering, what are you personally thinking and how are you putting these pieces together?
Well, Sam, a couple of things. Number one, there are no less than 40 plus references in the Bible where God either uses the presence of weather or weather-related incidents or the absence of weather, the withholding of rain or the withholding of that which crops needs to speak and to address, to warn, to even send judgment. So anytime you're talking about a flood or a hurricane, like we're talking about on the Texas coast that's going to come in the next several days, obviously that's something we ought to take a look at and say, Lord, are you trying to get our attention? Because he used so much of that in the scriptures. The other things you're talking about, the political unrest, all of these riots that are going on, Sam, I believe that is nothing less than this. You've got the forces of good and evil coming into direct conflict with each other. And God is doing some things across our nation. He is wanting to do more. That's good. Is he trying to get the attention of his church and of the nation? Yes. But in direct opposition to that, you have the wicked one raising his head. And obviously, the devil has great power. We see that in the book of Job, where he attacked Job's children and their homes and wiped certain things out with God's permission, of course. So there's this conflagration of good and evil coming together. And I think that's what we're seeing, Sam. These are amazing days, not days to live in fear, but days to live in anticipation that if we're on the winning side, which we are, God can use us in a great way, but we're watching this great conflict of good and evil.
Great way to summarize it, Dave. And ladies and gentlemen, think of this phrase. See if it doesn't apply. I'm saying that unlike the world that thinks that things are falling apart, that that actually the pieces aren't falling apart, they're actually falling into place. Makes a big difference in how we view them. David Neal, let me bring you in right now and just share a few things from your perspective. Again, this broader overall view of how God's blessing is tied to the attitude of the people and as a nation. Anything that you may reference, even to some founders perhaps and what they believed and what has happened before, because it seems to me that we were at a point in time when our people viewed the role of God much differently and his seeking to them than what we are now. We seem to be pretty God-deaf, tone-deaf right now, if you could put it that way.
In 1940, there was a court in New York State that heard a case called the New York League for the Separation of Church and State versus Lyon. The issue in the case was about whether it is appropriate to have chaplains in prisons and things like that. And this court, which said it was perfectly fine, it did not violate the Constitution, said this, it's one of the most succinct statements I've ever seen, and very good. It says, the courts have universally concurred in the doctrine that the stability of our government rests upon the basis of a religious belief in God. And this court in New York quoted to substantiate that view, the Holy Trinity Church case versus United States. Ladies and gentlemen, as America is under siege by ungodly forces, and you want to read something uplifting, not only the scripture, but go to that church. You can go to it. It's 143 U.S. 457, Holy Trinity Church. It'll give you the spiritual history of America, and it will lift you up.
David New, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, history is replete with it. David New just gave you one location to which to go. Now, when we come back in the next segment, we're going to invite in Jeremy Dice. He is Deputy General Counsel, Senior Counsel for First Liberty. He's going to update us on the Ninth Circuit Court in its ruling on the coach, Joe Kennedy, unbelievably saying that a public employee can't pray in public. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable health care that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community, hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, not only are we under siege, ladies and gentlemen, it seems on many fronts in this country, from upcoming flooding, as we just talked about in the Gulf Coast, at least projected there, to continuing earthquakes, tremors in multiple locations across our nations, to really sections of our country still under massive forest fires. That's going on right now, all there. We are under siege also, not just from those natural things, but from the enemies of truth, the enemies of God, the enemies of the Constitution, within official portions of our own government. And to talk about the latest example of what I'm terming judicial tyranny, yesterday's ruling by the Ninth Federal Circuit Court, they have ruled there that Coach Joe Kennedy, who you may recognize that name, who simply bent the knee and prayed before his football games, has now been told by that U.S. federal court that he has no right to pray as a public employee. And to give us the real details of this horrendous ruling is the attorney representing Coach Joe Kennedy. He's attorney and senior counsel for First Liberty Institute, Jeremy Dice. Jeremy, thanks for being with us and working us into your busy schedule today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sam.
Let me start right off with this here. This ruling that an employee who works as a servant of the people paid by the taxpayers forfeits his constitutional right to pray in public is angering. Now, I want you, if you could, to clarify, make sure that what I'm saying is correct, but what did the court actually rule, and were you surprised at the ruling yesterday?
Well, I'm certainly deeply disappointed by the ruling yesterday, because what it basically does is affirm the position of that public high school that just because a football coach is dropping down on one knee and giving a silent 15-second prayer, they have the authority to be able to fire him from his job. That's disappointing on a multitude of levels, but we should not be living in a country where it is permissible to ban a coach from the sidelines simply because he individually prays silently for 15 seconds after a football game and is seen by the watching public.
Jeremy, let me ask you this. The Ninth Circuit Court, of course, historically has done things like this before. They are perhaps the most liberal court in the country. Yet, as they continue to make decisions like this, what does this say about the future of any American who serves in any type of public office or any place where their compensation is coming from taxpayer dollars?
Well, I think especially teachers and coaches need to be aware of this decision. And I think, frankly, it gives them a lot more confusion than it does help, because if the court in the Ninth Circuit is going to affirm a school district's firing of a coach for simply offering a silent prayer for 15 seconds following a game, what's next? I mean, look, football season is upon us, and before long we're going to see the quarterback go down with an injury. And that injury could be very severe. We don't know. And it's very routine to see the coach come out there with great concern and watch as the doctors tend to the injured player, and oftentimes bow his head, or perhaps the Catholic coach will cross himself and say a silent prayer. Is that coach going to be fired then? I mean, what does this portend for all these coaches across this country? I don't think that's the America that the Constitution contemplated.
Yeah, Jeremy, I totally agree with you, and I want to emphasize again here, I mean, you've repeated it. This was not a public prayer. You're saying a private prayer. I mean, Jeremy, this appears to me to be the fact that we've gotten into thought policing. How do they know what he said? Is it the mere fact that somebody bows a knee? How does this even constitute even anything remotely close to the court trying to demonize as illegal activity?
Well, if you read the opinion that the Ninth Circuit handed down, they took great pains to note the fact that Coach Kennedy was insistent upon taking a knee. And that was some sort of demonstration, and an intentional demonstration, kind of an in-your-face demonstration, if you will, of his religious beliefs for all the students and all the fans to be able to see. Now, of course, what they did not state is what was going on when he took that knee. We know that it was a 15-second silent prayer. But for all appearances, it could have been the fact that Coach Kennedy was tying his shoe or looking for the contact lens that fell out of his eyeball. They simply don't know from appearances what actually could have gone on. So that leads me to wonder, you know, what happens when that player goes down and a coach closes his eyes for just a few too many seconds? Does that constitute an unlawful, unconstitutional prayer on the sidelines by this by that coach? What about in the last seconds of the game and you've got a tie ball game and a freshman kicker who's got to sink a 45-yard field goal? And all of a sudden, the players on the sidelines link arms, and half of them are praying earnestly that ball goes through the uprights. Does the coach have to run off the field lest he be perceived as endorsing those prayers? This is the type of confusion that I'm afraid this opinion may lead to.
Jeremy, let me ask you this. You obviously argued this case. Did you make the arguments that you're mentioning here? Were those arguments made in court?
Yeah, no, all of them were made in court to this opinion. So it was disappointing, very deeply disappointing, that as we read this opinion, the court is giving great affirmation to a school district's authority to fire a coach for simply saying a silent prayer for 15 seconds after a football game.
Well, Jeremy, I look at that and I say, well, then, all right, court, if that's what you're saying, and I've been in office for 20 years, I'm used to looking down the road and saying, what's the logical conclusion? What's the logical extension of this matter of policy that is being made? But this being the case, a coach privately bowing his head for 15 seconds, no one knows what he's saying, but now it's backed into it that he is saying a prayer to God. If that happens to an individual, then why in the world can't the court demand of us, Jeremy, or a group of teachers, a coach, whatever they may be, in the stands during the national anthem, out of respect, bowing their head and saying a prayer to God? Are we going to have some kind of a group action, class action by the court telling people that we can't even bow our heads in the stands?
Yeah. I don't know, but you know, I do know that even in this case, there were a group of high school coaches that were defending their team and actually participating with their team just down the road, as a matter of fact, from Coach Kennedy's school, as these players took a knee in the style of Colin Kaepernick during the national anthem themselves, and they're saying, "Look, we value the right under the First Amendment to do this." Certainly, if we are afforded the right to be able to protest the national anthem, Coach Kennedy should be permitted to be able to take a knee after the football game for 15 seconds and say a silent prayer without facing the loss of his job. And I think that's a really important point to have been made there. But the Ninth Circuit didn't seem to agree with that point. Instead, they said that it's okay to ban a coach from the field or individually and privately for 15 seconds saying this silent prayer just in the view of the fans and the students.
You know, Jeremy, if our founders could see the way this is being interpreted, they would roll over in their grave. Let me ask you this. What can be done with respect to the folks that are listening to us today? They're hearing this story. They're as incensed about it as we are. What can they do from the standpoint of an action? I mean, should they write letters? And then as far as within their own heart, because these things with increasing frequency are angering as they happen. So what can be done internally? What can be done as far as an action outwardly?
I'd encourage folks to start by going to firstliberty.org and learning more about this case itself. And then from there, you know, obviously Coach Kennedy is not receiving a bill from us. We provide our services pro bono, but we're only able to do that because the good people that are listening to the show are able to support the First Liberty Institute as we do so. So if they're inclined, we'd love to have their support. But then generally, look, the way that we win all of these cases is because brave men and women are willing to stand up and say, no, I know what my First Amendment rights are, I know what the Constitution says, and I'm not going to take this lying down. And so thankfully we've got Coach Kennedy willing to stand up over there. But look, there are probably hundreds of Coach Kennedys throughout the country every single year, and in far different circumstances, whether or not you're a football coach or a teacher or just a student. So I would encourage folks to go to firstliberty.org and review what your rights actually are so that you know what they are. And when they are questioned or called into question, you're willing to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to allow the government to tell me how to behave in public. I have the right to the free exercise of religion according to the Constitution, and I'm going to exercise it.
Jeremy, I liked what you said there in that regard, Jeremy, and that was this. Stand up, ladies and gentlemen. Do not run from this. Do not run. Engage your constitutional rights. And in my mind, I see the coach on his knee, bowing down. We say here oftentimes, kneel down and then stand up. Jeremy, I think Dave was trying to get in, and I jumped on top of him. What is First Liberty now going to do? This seems to me to be continued judicial tyranny.
Are you going to appeal to the Supreme Court? Or are you going to ask for an on-bank hearing? What's the legal status? Well,
those are certainly all options that are on the table. I mean, there really are three options, I guess, maybe four. We could do nothing and just go back. This was a denial of a preliminary injunction. We could go back and litigate the whole case to its conclusion in the district court. Or we could seek to have the case heard en banc before the entire Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, around 30 or so judges there that would hear it in one setting. Or we could appeal directly to the Supreme Court of the United States. What I can say is those are options available to anybody for this level of a case. We're trying to figure out what all those options are, which one is the best for our client, and then have the chance to sit down face-to-face with Joe and say, look, this is what we think is the best way forward, and advise him accordingly. And once we figure that out, we'll make sure everybody knows.
Jeremy Dice, one quick reference to the website again.
FirstLiberty.org.
FirstLiberty.org. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy, thanks for being with us and working us into your very, very busy schedule today. God bless you and the efforts of First Liberty Institute. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, special guest David New throughout the program, and we were just with Jeremy Dice, general counsel for First Liberty. When we come back, we're now going to move to not the enemies just in government, which we talked about now, but enemies without. We're going to give you an example. We're going to talk about enemies within. An extraordinarily shocking example. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, if you're just joining us on Stand in the Gap today, we welcome you. We are thrilled that you have chosen to make Stand in the Gap today part of your day, ladies and gentlemen. And we know that thousands, tens of thousands across the country are doing that live, and many, many more will pick this program up delayed. This is lunchtime for those of you who are on the eastern coast here, and we are thankful for you working that in. Now, I want you to know, if you missed the first half, it was a great first half. If you missed it, you can pick it up on the archives by going to our website, StandInTheGapRadio.com. If you have not done this, I encourage you, as hundreds and hundreds of people are doing, downloading our free app, iPhone or Android. Just put in the phrase Stand in the Gap. Download the app and you can listen to the program at your convenience, either live or delayed. All of our programs, this one, Stand in the Gap Today, our weekend program, Stand in the Gap Weekend, or our minute program, Stand in the Gap Minute. Now, today we are focusing on the whole concept, the general theme, America under siege from all sides. We started the program by talking about from above, talking about the hurricane that's now in the news and developing as we speak. Important to examine that. We looked in the second segment about from being in siege from those in government, the Ninth Circuit Court ruling that a government employee, somebody paid by the taxpayer, do not have a constitutional right to even bow their heads and pray in private, referring to Coach Joe Kennedy out west. Unbelievable. But I want to give you some more examples to paint this picture here. We have enemies without as well. Warned by God from above with examples of burning fires, floods, biblical proportions, coast-to-coast eclipse on Monday, attacked by government, all those things I just mentioned, these things are in fact happening. But we also have things that are happening that have just come to the forefront. Examples of attacks from without and attacks from within. Dave Kistler, I would like to go to you first. I want to get your comment on this remarkable revelation just coming forth that, if proven, is a clear act of war. And we're going to spend more time on this tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, with our special guest, J.R. McGee, our military and geopolitical expert. But I want to get just a surface coverage on this right now. Dave, if I could, I want you to frame it. It's come to light that there are many employees associated with the U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba, who are suffering major and traumatic injuries. The implications of this unfolding scenario, Dave, is incredible. Tell us about it, please.
Well, Sam, it is absolutely incredible. What they're saying is, and this is according to a CBS News report, a medical doctor, U.S. doctor, has looked into this, and some of the diplomats from both the United States and Canada are being diagnosed as suffering traumatic brain injury with central nervous system effects being felt. Evidently, the diplomats began complaining of symptoms ranging from hearing loss to nausea, balance disorders, and after the State Department said these incidents began affecting them as early as 2016. And so it appears as if some type of sonic attack may have been leveled against these diplomats, again, from the United States and Canada as well. And there may be more of these forthcoming. So, Sam, you are 100% correct. This is as insidious and as wicked and evil as anything could possibly be. And if this is going on, it is definitely an act of war against the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to add to that, Dave, what you're saying, some comments that I have gotten from some well-placed individuals has made this in comment. Hearing loss, nausea, chronic illnesses, all symptomatic of long-term exposure to subsonic sound cannons. And it goes on to say that actually this technology is actually used by U.S. military for battlefield management. It is used by police for crowd control. Different frequencies produce different results. The pulse width and the amplitude determine the power levels from whether they are just mildly irritating to deadly. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, we're going to talk more about this. This is getting squeezed out just a bit, perhaps because of what's happening with the weather and hurricane potential down in Texas. But I submit to you, this is a key, key issue. And the articles are saying that this impact in Cuba is still underway. It's still going on. This is not a past event. It was a past event. It goes back into 2016, just now coming to light. But this is happening. This is an enemy without. Understand the context of this program. America under siege. Enemies without. This is an example. This is one has not yet been identified, ladies and gentlemen. Not even been identified, but this is potentially, clearly, an act of war. It's going to come to the surface. We're telling you early because of the significance of it. We're going to talk more about this in detail tomorrow, so you want to stay tuned to come back with us. But I want to move on because this was one illustration of enemies without. We know that ISIS is out there. That's been out there. We know North Korea is. These are all examples of enemies without. Here's a new one. Very, very concerning. Very concerning. Now, David New, I want to go to you because this example here I found last night, it's there, but it's hard. It just disappeared. It was up and now it's gone. It's an example of what I would term enemies within. America under siege from within. And this has incredible, enormous potential to America. This is from one report that I'm seeing. Quote, I'm reading, a new face of the Islamic State is a 10-year-old American boy. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. A new face of the Islamic State is a 10-year-old American boy. And I'm looking at his picture right now. That the terror army, ISIS, claims to have come to Syria 2 years ago with his mother. Guess where? From the United States. In a new ISIS propaganda video, the boy's identified as an American citizen named Youssef and says he's the son of a U.S. service member deployed to Iraq. This little boy says in a release sent to President Trump, quote, this battle is not going to end in Raqqa or Mosul. It's going to end in your lands. He then looks into the camera, straight on, and delivers an anti-Donald Trump diatribe, speaking in really what sounds like Americanized English. He didn't learn it over there. He's shown living among residences and destruction of Raqqa, the central Syrian city, that was the capital of the Muslim caliphate. He's a male friend running around with a rifle, practicing how he can kill people. I'm just suggesting to you, David, that this suggests that the training of young boys to be Islamic jihadists is not restricted to the Middle East, but possibly here in America. Suggests an integration into our own military, since he purports to be the son of a member of the military of Iraq. David, what should this say to us from a practical and biblical perspective?
Well, from a biblical perspective, it shows the true depth and evil and wickedness of mankind to use a child in that fashion. I remember in my second trip to Israel, I went by myself and I took my car up to the Mount of Olivet. And when I got back, my car was damaged, and there was a little five-year-old boy with a stick beating on my car because my car had Israeli license plate. These people in the Middle East, and now apparently in the United States, will use children and give them little vests to wear with bombs on them and tell them if they die for Allah that they will go straight to heaven. Just before we came on the program, ladies and gentlemen, I called the White House at 202-456-1111. And I made it very clear that I support President Trump, and he's under a great deal of attack from many, many angles. This young child is just one way. He's under a great deal of attack. I let it be known that I support the president. The number is 202-456-1111. If you feel of the Lord to do that, please do so.
Sam, let me follow up on what you're talking about here. This should not surprise us with respect to this young 10-year-old boy. There are places within the United States of America, and you alluded to it briefly, where guerrilla training is taking place. There's a town in New York that ironically has the name Islamburg, New York, and it has been in the news a lot, not of late, but it has been in the news a number of times because there are very sinister things going on there. The residents that live around that community have been concerned about it, that there is Islamic jihadist training going on there. So, Sam, this face, this new face, as you described it, of the war on terror, as we call it, is going into a new realm and into a new level. So this is something about which the American people need to be greatly concerned, not fearful, not paralyzed, but we do need to keep eyes and ears open, and this does need to be addressed by those that are in authority.
And Dave and David, your comments are very, very, very good. David, you made this comment that how atrocious for someone to use a child in death missions. I recall what Jesus said to the disciples, that if they offended one of these little ones, it'd be better for that person to have a millstone hung around their neck and they dropped into the sea. God takes this kind of thing, ladies and gentlemen, very seriously. And whereas we've seen evil around this world in the past, and we're going to see more of it, these folks will answer to God. There will be justice brought forward. I just hope that as God's people here on this earth, we understand it, and we pray for our president, who's in a position where they're going to have to deal with these things. Guaranteed they will. Now, when we come back in the next segment, we're going to try and conclude. We're going to get some additional comments from one other area under siege from which we are under siege. That's the media. Dave's going to give us some comments about why the press is so against President Trump. And then we're going to try and wrap this up with some good solutions as we round out this program today.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today co-host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, we've chosen to give some examples today of America under siege. I started the program with the verse from Proverbs, which says that, quote, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him, end quote. Well, our nation, ladies and gentlemen, is not at peace. It's not. You know it. I know it. Our enemies are rising up against us. Inside, we gave examples. Outside, we gave examples. And we cited even the government itself in the form of tyranny and the courts ruling against our constitutional rights based on biblical principles. I believe that God's been speaking to us for a long time. That's my personal opinion. But that we have, as a nation, been pretty tone deaf. God deaf, put it that way. We've not heard him speaking, and we've not seen with our eyes. And the result is that, well, as God works with nations through history of time, he has to just keep shouting louder. He will get our attention. In this segment, I want David New to offer his thoughts on what I'm calling the enemy all around. And that we often see in the form of the media, the gatekeepers of communication, put it that way, who carefully refuse to advance the truth and advance deception, sowing seeds of discord. And nowhere this is perhaps seen more evidently than we are seeing than in the incessant attacks against our president. Now, we are not saying that everything he does is perfect. It's not. He doesn't do everything perfectly. But boy, even any objective person has got to admit that what's happening is just an incessant attack. It's an enemy within. David New, I'd like for you to give us your thoughts on how you have been seeing this America under siege perspective unfolding as it relates to our president.
Well, we've seen what, and I now call them the hate media, and primarily led by CNN, and people like Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper and Gloria Borger and David Gergen. They're saying all kinds of crazy things as a result of this Charlotte situation, the speech that the president made that afternoon. They're claiming that he was trying to say that the Nazis were very fine and that there's good Nazis and that kind of thing. And this is a complete distortion of what the president said. I'm sad to say that sometimes, and Sarah Palin has the same problem as well, sometimes when the president speaks, he sometimes says two or three different thoughts at the same time. He is speaking at 1 second about one particular thought, and then another second he's going somewhere else and so forth. And that can cause a lot of confusion. If you listen to Sarah Palin sometimes, when she's trying to talk about something a bit complicated, you'll see her thoughts, her speech, to become disconnected, because she actually is running and her mind is going so fast that she is making comments about two or three different things all within 1 minute. And unfortunately, the press has taken full advantage of what the president said. And now they're saying he said there were good Nazis and there were very fine people on both sides. When he said that, he was not referring to the KKK or white supremacists or Nazis. If I thought for one second that President Trump had 1 ounce of anti-Semitism in his heart, I wouldn't have any support for him at all. Or if he was a white supremacist, or if he was KKK. These are the anti-God forces. These are the anti-Christ forces. These are the people who represent evil. The president was talking about a different group altogether who was supporting the Robert E. Lee statute. And this is one of the problems that this president is going to have. A president needs to speak with absolute clarity at certain times, almost with mathematical precision to the 10th decimal point. Sometimes the president wants to be vague, but there's one area a president wants to be absolutely clear, and that's when it comes to racial issues. And in this instance, because of what he did, and it was not intentional, it's just the way he sometimes talks, he was referring and making different comments on different subjects. When writers write sometimes and they can't make their sentences come out right, one of the reasons is there are probably two or three sentences that you're really trying to say and you need to break them out. And this is what happened here, I'm sad to say, in Charlottesville. And look at Wolf Blitzer. He's now claiming that Charlottesville somehow was an inspiration for Barcelona. This is how crazy these people have gone.
David Neal, that's a very expert analysis. I haven't heard anybody actually phrase it the way you did that. But I think that's really very, very good. And ladies and gentlemen, obviously it's a reminder to all of us, be very careful what we say. It's not just our words. It's how we say it. It's all these things. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, the media has a responsibility to balance these things. An honest media with integrity, journalists with integrity, will recognize what David New just said and will report it accordingly. But that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is an enemy flavor. Again, what's the target? America, our relationship to God and the worldview. It's all wrapped together. Now, Dave Kistler, now as we come to the conclusion here, I want to go to you and I want you to wrap up this program today for us in light of all these things. I want to ask you this. People are looking for those in office to solve our problem. Frankly, I don't put my hope there, but my question is the church in America doing what God wants it to be? Are we looking up to Him? Are we looking in the mirror as God's people and saying, Lord, what have I done to get us to this point? What am I doing to get us back on track? Dave, give us some marching orders, if we could, for our listeners right now in light of these serious events surrounding our nation.
Well, Sam, let me begin by saying this. Proverbs 8:21 says this, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I think what David New was saying was basically could be encapsulated by that verse. What we say, how we say it is so critical. And there are times when we need to be unequivocally clear. And I couldn't agree with him more. I think that was a very astute observation. But Sam, I want to say this. We are living in amazing times. If the church cannot look up to God and say at this point in global history, U.S. history, Lord, was it that you want me to do in light of what's happening, then there's something severely wrong with us. At the beginning of this year, my wife and I got together. We said, this is going to be a pivotal year for us, for our ministry. Lord, you are opening doors like you've never opened before. So, Lord, what is it you want us to do? And I have come to this conclusion, Sam, that I was born physically, and I'm convinced I was born again spiritually for this very moment. And I try to view every day that way, and I think that's the way God's church should view it. We are here to propagate the gospel because that is the answer. We're to lift up the name of Jesus. We're to hold forth the truth like a bright light. And if God's church is not doing that, we're missing it. It is so dark right now in so many sectors that it takes very little light to shine brightly. So if we let our light shine, as the scripture says, the way it should, people are going to see our good works and they're going to form the right opinion of our Father in heaven. And Sam, that's why we're here. This is not a time for fear. This is not a time to cower. This is a time for bold declaration of the gospel and bold living of the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, standing in the gap for truth for such a time as this. Embrace what Dave Kistler just laid out. That will make a difference if God's people respond that way. David New, could I ask you to close this program in prayer for us, please, today?
Absolutely. My favorite verse in the Bible, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for each and every listener today. We want them to be encouraged and to keep their eyes looking up, because the day will come when Jesus will return. Father, bless those on the hosts of this program. Bless those people, the coach, Joe Kennedy. Bless those people who work on this radio station. And Father, may each and every listener be blessed and use the information to spread the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Christ's name, amen.
See you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, on this program.
Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.